It's Jacob. 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 Oh, it ain't on there, is it? Should be Jacob. No. I did it again. That's all right. It was good. What's that? No, it's okay. All right, we're going to be in Genesis 28. We're going to pick back up. I had the mind to put my slides in the cloud again, and I didn't do it. Sorry. Glad I brought extensive notes today. God must have something else in store. Because even in our weaknesses, He finds a way to get it done. And so I want to pick up where we left off. I want to pick up where we left off last week. Let me pray first. And then we're gonna get into this. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your compassion. I thank you that even when we fall short, God, that you stand in the gap and you make amazing things happen. God, I'm standing here trusting you to just to be the teacher. We pray for your spirit and he would be powerful and effective during this time, that we would be able to take what you've given to me by your spirit, and that we would be able to make it applicable to our lives. God, we will be careful to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory in this time. Thank you and love you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we're looking at the life of Jacob, and we're in Genesis, we're going to be in Genesis 28. But I want to kind of go over like where we were at. All right. I want to kind of touch on where we were at, because Isaac and Rebekah, they had twin sons. Esau was the oldest. Jacob was the youngest. And, generally the spiritual blessing and the inheritance is given in reserve to the oldest, the largest portion at least. But in this circumstance, God tells Rebekah that Jacob will be the one who receives the blessing, even though he's second in line, and that Esau will serve him. But as they get older, Isaac begins, that's the father, Isaac begins to take a liking more so to Esau than he does to Jacob, and Rebekah tends to favor Jacob. And so there's this kind of like division almost in the family, where God has declared that this is what's going to happen. This is who's going to receive the blessing. But Isaac, in his mind, he says, you know what? I'm doing what I want to do anyway. Has anybody ever done what they want to do anyway? And Rebekah gets wind of what's happening. And so she devises a plan to deceive her husband, to make sure that her favorite, Jacob, gets the blessing. And it's easy for Rebekah to justify her actions, because God said so. It's easy for us to go to the scripture and say, well, God says this, so therefore that justifies my actions. We've got to be careful that we don't get outside of God's timing and get outside of His plan, because as we're going to see here, and we started to see last week, when we mess around and try to make things happen on our own, independent of God's will, it causes trouble. It causes division. It causes pain. It causes consequences that we weren't expecting these consequences to come, but they came. So at the end of the story last week, Esau wants to kill his brother. He wants to kill him. He said, as soon as dad dies and we get done going through the funeral ceremony, because he didn't know how long it was going to be before his dad died. He said, as soon as he dies, I'm killing this guy, taking him out. Dad is sad, even though he was being disobedient to God. And then mom ends up having to lie again in order to save her son. She comes up with this story. It's like, I don't want him to marry one of these women here in this foreign land, because they were in Canaan at the time, but they haven't taken possession of the land yet. So there was all of these different peoples around, and God had commanded them not to marry amongst those people. So Rebecca comes up with this story, tells Isaac, hey, I want you to send our son to be with my brother in Haran. Haran is 500 miles away from where they are at the time. So while they had deceived Isaac into getting the blessing, what good was the blessing? Now Jacob has to leave his family. He's alone. His brother wants to kill him. He was the heir to all the goods. Isaac was ultra rich. We can't even imagine how rich Isaac was. It said he was 100 times as rich as Abraham. He was so rich that the neighboring countries used to envy this man and his property. And Jacob was about to take control over this. He had just received the blessing. And a few days later, he's off. He's sent away so he doesn't end up being killed. And I asked the question last week, and I said, what would have happened if they would have just followed God's plan? And how was Jacob still going to receive the blessing if Isaac went ahead and blessed Esau anyway? And we're going to see it today. The answer was revealed to me. It was good too. So in Jacob's life, I want to kind of align each one of us with Jacob, because I know some of us saw ourselves in Rebekah last week. I know some of us saw ourselves in Isaac having, wanting to do what we want to do, thinking that we know best, having wisdom, but that may be separate from what God has said to do. I know we've seen ourselves in Jacob's shoes as well, wanting to appease our mom or someone that we care about, feeling justified to do it, feeling like we have to become someone else in order to make God's plan happen in our life. I think we've all been there before. So today I want to look at this thing, because I think Jacob's life reveals some things about each one of us. That while we have some amazing traits, while we have some wonderful things about ourselves, sometimes we miss the mark. Some of us more than others. It's funny, because the preacher stands up here before you today, and I told you last week that in one of my personality assessments, that it says I was like Jacob. And the more that I study Jacob's life, I have to concur with the personality assessment. I am like Jacob. I think that one of the most powerful things that I have going for myself, it isn't righteousness, it isn't being good, it isn't being the one, is that I have the gift of faith. I believe that God can meet me wherever I am, that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad I mess things up, no matter how many times I leave my slides at home, that God is going to show up where I am. That's what I got going for me. And some of us in here, that's all we got going for us too, is that we just believe that God is going to show up. Maybe he just needed me to see that once again that he's here. And so Jacob, while given the blessing, while chosen by God, wasn't the favorite. He wasn't the favorite to be chosen by God, but he was chosen. He messed up time and time and time again. If you read through his story through the second half of Genesis, you'll see he keeps messing up. He keeps forgetting what God has already promised him, but God still chose him. And if God can use Jacob, he can use each one of us. So there were some specific things. I'll be taking notes, because I had slides for you to take notes on. I'm going to let it go. God, I know you're in charge. He had some major flaws. some of the major flaws he had, is that he trusted himself in his own planning more so than he trusted God. Anybody else understand that? That's me all day. I love God. I believe God. I read His promises. But honestly, really, this is kind of where I am in my life right now, is that I plan my life. That's why I move slow. I'm moving real slow because I know that I'm out of order. I'm out of order. I act independently of God. Jacob does it all the time. He gets up. Not only does he in his mind think that he has everything together, but he plans his days and his actions without consulting God. I don't know if there's anybody else in here who does that, but I do. Confession is good for the soul. God said He'll heal you if you confess your sins to your brothers and sisters. He said He ran ahead of God. Anybody ever like seen something that you knew that it was kind of like you had, it was yours, or that you were going to have it, but you got ahead of God and you started moving stuff out of the way, and you didn't want God's timing. God, you're moving too slow. I know to you a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, but for me a day is a day, and it seems like it's taking too long. So I got to keep on moving. Don't you see that I'm feeling funny? My stomach is hurting. God, come on, we got to make speed this thing up. Say, God, why do we have to wait? He lacked the courage to stand up for what was right. Anybody ever lack courage? Something happens in your family or in your life, and you know what the right thing to do is. But if you do that thing, things are going to get crazy. Some people that you love and care about are going to turn their backs on you. People are going to point their fingers at you. People are going to judge you. You might lose out on that job. You might lose out on that promotion. You might get kicked out of the church. But God said, hey, go tell them what you did now so I can heal you. You're like, no, I ain't doing it. He was more concerned with his mom than he was with God. You ever wanted to appease somebody so much that you just get off the path? Just get off the path. I think all of us can relate to that. So if my slide was up here, it would have said Jacob, the beginning of change. The beginning of change. Because we're being transformed day by day by day. Oh, we're all saved. We're sanctified. We're filled with the Holy Ghost, right? So we think we don't need to change. We don't need to transition. We don't need to become better. Oh, but we do. And sometimes we fall back. They call it backsliding, right? Sometimes we get stagnant. Sometimes we forget where we are. Sometimes we've sinned in a way that has isolated us from our peers. It's caused us financial, physical trouble. When we find ourselves in death. We're going to go to Genesis 28. We're going to pick up at Genesis 28:10, because this is what Jacob is. This is what Jacob is at. Some consequences to getting outside of God's timing. There are consequences to acting independently of God. There are consequences to deceiving others in order to get your way. There are consequences for relying on yourself more so than God. There's consequences. Some of the consequences are immediate. This is what I'm trying to teach my children. Some consequences are immediate. Some won't happen for a while. Some consequences only last for a moment. Some consequences endure for a lifetime. And so we're going to look at some immediate consequences. And we're going to look at some enduring consequences. And Jacob is really going to teach us something, but what I want you to keep on the forefront of your mind is that Jacob gives us a blazing example. And this is what he gives us an example of. He gives us an example of God's mercy. He gives us an example of God's grace. He gives us an example of God's mercy. He didn't deserve the blessing. He was chosen. You find each person in here, if you're here for a purpose, God chose you. A lot of us tend to think that we chose God. Oh, I chose God. Chose me. He chose me. I don't know why He chose me. I don't know why He shaped me the way that He shaped me. I don't know why I desire the things that I desire, but He chose me. And Another example that we get from Jacob's life is God's choice. He is an example of God's choice. So not only is he an example of God's grace and mercy, if Jacob can be saved and used for God's plan and purpose, each one of us can be used for God's plan and purpose. He was also God's choice. He chose us. And last but certainly not least, this is the one that I relate to so much. Some days I have my highs and I feel like I'm ultra spiritual and I'm doing everything the right way by God's grace and glory. But then there's other days where I know that I'm wrong. I say things that are wrong. I do things that are wrong. But time and time again, God continues to remind me of who I am and who I am. Keep these truths in the forefront of your mind today and, you know, next week, because we're going to get there. So there's some consequences. Ooh, my slide, where you at? But we're going to look at this thing, Genesis 28, chapter 10. That's where we're going to start at. I'm in the, if you're using your phone, your cell phone, which this version, the NASB, for those of you, real quick Bible lesson, real quick, you know, I'm a Bible teacher. Real quick lesson. The NASB is actually the most literal English translation of the Bible. So if you're wondering which one it is, it's the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. If you want to go word for word, current English from the ancient manuscript, this is the one. Not because Andre Beasley said so, that's what scholars say. Okay? I know everyone has their favorite. A lot of people love the King James. I love the New King James. It's my favorite version. I'm starting to lean towards the English Standard Version. But this one right here, the New American Standard Bible, take note of that. It is the most literal English translation. But this is a translation, three different languages. All right, into a current language. All right, our current English. So let's read through the text, and then I'm gonna break it down. We're gonna get out of here. All right. So Genesis chapter 28, verse 10. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth, and its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. I gotta take a pause right here because it's starting to stir me up a little bit. This man is desperate. He's fearful. He's ashamed. He's on the run, and he's on a 500-mile journey. He's on to a foreign distant land. Yeah, he got some people there, but he don't know. Never been there before. Like, I know, like, I know where I'm going, but I kind of don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm on this thing alone. I was supposed to be the richest man in the kingdom, and now all I got is the stuff that I carry. I don't know what's going on right here. I know my dad left me, but it don't look like it's going to happen. Because if I go back, my brother going to take me out. So this is where this man is at right now, and I can relate to him. I know I'm crazy a little bit. I can relate to him. But God then shows up in this place. It says a certain place. I love whenever the Bible says a certain anything. A certain place. A certain man. A certain woman. Take note. It's deeper than that. That's what that word certain means. It's not a place. To him, it's a place. To the people in the Old Testament, places meant a whole lot. But now that the Spirit is here in the earth, ain't no place. The place is here. So I want you to keep that in mind. The place is here. When you go home, some of us, 18 miles, we hug, we come home, we go to a certain place. So he's in this place, though, even a physical place. He said, hey, guess what? This place that you lie on today, you made a rock as your pillow. I'm going to give this land. I'm going to give all of this to you. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 14, your descendants shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south your descendants shall the families of the earth be blessed. And if you have read through Genesis before, you know that this is a covenant that God established with Father Abraham. That's my guy. You know what I'm saying? So he established this covenant with Abraham, his grandfather, a while ago, and God is now giving him the same blessing. And we were wondering last week, like, man, what would have happened if Esau would have went ahead and received the blessing instead of Jacob? It dawned on me as I was reading this what the answer was. Even if Isaac would have blessed Esau and gave him the inheritance, God is the one who actually blesses. It wouldn't have mattered. Look, anybody who tries to stand in your... Can't nobody stand in your way. Can't nobody stand in your way from getting what God already has ordained for you to get. Only God can give you the blessing. They were looking at the physical, earthly things that were happening around them, but God is standing upon high. And He's looking down, and as we're about to see with this, we just saw with these ladder, there's this ladder. Ooh, the ladder is good. The ladder is good because I got to get into the ladder without the slides, God. I know you're going to guide me. We got to get into the ladder because Jesus, let's go over to, you got your Bibles. I know y'all got some Bibles in here. God, you're going to bring to remembrance them scriptures. I know you are. John 1. God, John 1, 51. Jesus brings us some truth. We got to understand this ladder, because the ladder was sitting down on earth. He's asleep. He's having a dream. Remember, he was afraid. He was ashamed. He was alone, and he also was destitute. He didn't have all he had. He went from being a rich man in one of the richest kingdoms in the world, so now all I got is my bags and what I can carry with me. I'm on this 500-mile journey. He probably maybe even had a donkey to carry some of his stuff, but that was it. But God gave him four prescriptions. Hoo-wee. If you ain't got your pencils out, if you ain't got your pencils and your paper out, you got to look at the four prescriptions that God gave to Jacob as he's desperate and he's in need right now. Anybody else ever been desperate before? Anybody else know that they done messed up some stuff and been on a journey? Anybody ever been done wrong and threatened by somebody and know that you're just on this journey and you don't know what to do? Well, God gave him some prescriptions, so I can't even finish the text. I got to go back up. And there's this ladder, and in John chapter 1, verse 51, he says, and he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened. Check this now. And the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now here we're talking, look back over here, and I'm going to keep building it for you. I'm going to keep building it, because if you go back to, make sure you're holding your spots now. And that's how the text is. You use scripture to reference scripture because it's all linked. They would have known what he was talking about when the context of when Jesus said this. He was calling his disciples at this point in time, and he made a promise to them. He said, "Hey, trust me, you're gonna see greater things than me telling you you were sitting under a fig tree. You're gonna see angels ascending and descending on me, on the Son of Man." He goes back. I'm going to go back to Genesis. And he said he had a dream, verse 12. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth, and its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So, next verse. I know you're going to help me, guys. I need you. Let's look at John. I think it's John 14:6. I'm going to use your water today, brother. Oh, that's it. Let's go. All right. I'm telling you, I'm just walking by faith. And so John 14, 6, he said, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the light. No one comes to the Father but through me. See, he's just having a vision in his dream. That's the first prescription. It's the ladder. He gave him a vision of the ladder. You know what it represents? It represents that there is a separation between heaven and earth. There is a separation between God and man. There is a separation between what you have now and in what God has promised you. There is a separation between what you want and what you have. But Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. So if whenever you're experiencing this separation, remember the first prescription, the first vision that he gave him was the ladder. It's a realization of where he is. It's a realization of how far away earth is from heaven. But it's also simultaneously, in God-like fashion, revealing the answer. And the answer is Christ. The answer is Christ. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. He's the one who communicates what needs to happen on earth so that it's done in heaven. Second prescription is the angels. This is a vision. When God gives vision, it comes with a purpose, brother. It's a purpose for the vision. It's a purpose for the vision. So we have this ladder. Now we have angels. You know what the angels represent? The angels represent God's help. They were created for a specific purpose. That was to carry out God's will in heaven and on earth as he commanded. You have help. Got to talk about these angels real quick. Talk about these angels because, boy, you know what? As I got older, see, I used to think about angels all the time when I was younger. And right now, like God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they're like at the forefront of my mind. But I forget about the angels and the function in which they have. Have you ever thought about, like, there's angels looking over us right now? Right now. And all they know how to do is what God says to do. And they have the power to carry it out. He has given them charge over us. He has given them charge over this church. It may not look like it. Jacob was right here laying on a rock in the middle of nowhere, a rich man. Didn't look like it. Didn't look like God was in his presence. So he gives him a vision because he didn't want him to forget. There's a specific purpose for the vision. He was chosen. God said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, so that we can always go back to this story and remember, oh man, even if I'm in the desert somewhere, even if all I got is a bag and I'm laying on a rock, God is with me. First prescription, you got the ladder, talks about the separation. Now you got the angels. God has your help. We have God's help. Oh man, this is a good one. This is a big one. Angels also, scripture, you read in scriptures, angels give us encouragement. They encourage us. When nobody else can encourage you, sometimes we're looking for our spouse to encourage us. We're looking for our friends to encourage us. But you know what? Sometimes it's only going to come by His Spirit. You got to remember that. The third part, let's get back into the text. Third part, third prescription. When you're in desperate need. Third prescription. Let's go to, we're at 28. Let's start at 15. Let's start at 15. And Genesis 28, 15. I know I'm everywhere, but hey, we got to move today. Genesis 28, 15. And behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. See, I got to stop right there, boy. He wasn't even a preacher. He was a preacher, but he was a deacon at the last church I was at. And he used to pray this prayer. And I remember, like, you know, struggling internally sometimes just with certain things. And it was this one thing that he would always pray when I needed him to. And he would say, Lord, keep us with your keeping power. And it didn't, he would say it all the time, but when I needed to hear it, I'm like, oh, that's right. God does have that keeping power. Does anybody know about God's keeping power? I don't know if you do, but I do. Because there's some days where I need to be kept. Today is one of those days where I need to be kept. Don't let how I'm presenting this fool you. It's one of those days today where I need to be kept. Not just with monetary things or a house over my head. I'm talking about in my mind. I'm talking about in my heart. I'm talking about in my vision. I'm talking about in my encouragement. God, I need your keeping power today. And God made a promise to Jacob that day. He said, and behold, I am with you. Verse 15. And I will keep. Ooh, he's with us today. He said, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. Not just right here. Not just in this place. Jacob didn't get it. We're going to see. Jacob didn't get it all the way. He said, I will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back. Because he already knew what he was thinking. He knows what you're thinking, brother. He knows what you're thinking. He was like, I'm going to let you go back to your people. I'm going to bring you back. You know what I'm saying? I did this. And I have you in my hands. I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you. Ooh, aren't all of us afraid of being left? I am. I do. I got daddy wounds, mama wounds. Family wounds, you know, everybody carrying around these wounds. We got somebody with us who will never leave us or forsake us. And God has given us this reminder. He gave us the ladder. Yeah, there's a distance between me and you, but I made a way for you, and his name is Jesus. Not only did he make that way for you, a way for you to leave earth and come to heaven, but I've sent you help in the present moment, and that's my angels. That's my spirit. He said, I'm going to be with you as believers. We have his presence in his Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus today, I encourage you to get to know him. Because even when I'm far, even when I'm distant, even when I'm in sin, inside of me I feel his spirit and he's with us today. Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke. Hold on, I messed up. I got to go back. I'm just going to read 15. And behold, I am with you, because this sounds so good to me. And if he was with Jacob, he's going to be with us. He said, I will keep you. All these words are underlined in my Bible. I got the keyword Bible, so it's underlined. I got to go back and understand on a deeper level what these words mean. You know what I'm saying? He said, wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you. Until I have done what I have promised you. And the beautiful thing about what he promised Jacob in this situation, the promise isn't fulfilled until eternity is here. It ain't just him coming back to Canaan. He made a promise all the families of the earth will be blessed through him. And that's a lot of weight. That's a lot of weight. But he ain't got to do it alone. He said, I'm going to be with you. That's what Jesus says to us today. He's like, you're not doing this alone. I'm with you. I'm with you. Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. See, he thinks it's the place. Don't worry about that. The place is here. The place is wherever you are. And he did not know it. Again, he said, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. See, he wasn't that close to... Jacob was chosen. Jacob was forgiven. Jacob had messed up time and time again. God was about to use him to do amazing things, but he didn't have a close, intimate relationship with God yet. He didn't even know that he was there. That's why he revealed all of this to him. Some of us are waiting. We're waiting, like, you know what, I'm a serve when I get this relationship with God together. You know, I'm a give my talents to the church, you know, when I get my life together. You need to start right where you're at. You need to start right where you're at. You don't need me to approve you. You don't need me to pour no oil on your head. You don't need me to put my hands on you. God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, God wants you to begin serving today right where you're at. He wants you to work. He's gonna draw you in. You're never gonna be what you were supposed to be without Christ anyway. Stop waiting. Stop waiting. The change is happening now inside of you. 17. And he was afraid. Isn't that what happened? Isn't that what happened? Don't we become afraid when we're faced with these huge You know, somebody might encourage you and talk about, man, how much talent you have, how much promise you have for your life, how much God is going to work. Don't you become afraid when your parents tell you these things and they try to prescribe things? I became very afraid when God first called me into the ministry. I was 17 years old, and I'm like, God, you got the wrong one. Now, every time the call comes, I got to do it. And I don't even feel like it sometimes. It's just like, I got to. I tell her, oh, I got to go do it. You know, He created me to do this thing. In spite of me. Despite me. So that fear is normal. As you're going through this transition, as God is beginning to move you from one place to the next, there's going to be fear. There's going to be an emergence. You're not going to be exactly where you want to be with God, but it's okay. He said, how awesome is this place? But he does recognize. God gives him some insight. So he got a couple things. He was in desperate need. He was in desperate need. God initiates an encounter with him. And then from that encounter, he receives new insight. God gives him four prescriptions for his plight. He gives him a vision of the ladder, looking at the separation between heaven and earth, but the way also between earth and God. He gives him a vision of the angels of God ascending and descending. God is fulfilling his plan. He's working out even those situations that look bad. He's working them out for good. He has that power. He's given us His presence. God is standing at the top of the ladder and He's looking down. And when I came up in here today, my stomach was hurting a little bit. Bad, actually. But it didn't change. I had this picture of Jacob's ladder that an artist believed, you know, what it looked like. And I was going to have it up on the screen. And it's like etched in my mind. It's branded inside my mind. And that's all I see now. Like, God, you're looking down here on us like that? And it gives me encouragement. Sometimes it's those visual things. And then the last prescription, I didn't highlight it, so I want to highlight it now, is that God gives us His promises. He gives us His promises. He gives us His word. And man, we can stand on His promises. I don't know about you, but every single time I've done what the word tells me to do, man, it may not feel good in a moment, but it comes to pass. That's how I can stand here acting like I'm acting now, because it comes to pass, brothers and sisters. This ain't something that my mama taught me. This is something that I experienced, bro. Been down and out, been homeless, been drunk, been sick, been fornicating. God said, boy, get up and let's go. I'm telling you, bro. This is real, man. So here we are, and he has this insight in verse 17, and he says, he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. The New Testament tells us where the house of God is. It's in the believers of Jesus Christ. It used to be a tent made with hands, but now it's in these earthen vessels. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you may not seem like nothing, you may not look like nothing, but God said, I will make my dwelling in you. One of Jesus' names is Emmanuel, it means God with us. They think it was just Him walking the earth. No, God is in here through His Spirit. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that had been put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. I ain't going to get all the way into this because I'll be going all day on the oil. And he called the name of that place Bethel, or Beth-El, the house of God. Anybody ever been to the house of God? I ain't talking about where we at now. I'm talking about when you come into the Lord's presence and He's there and you know He's there. Man, if I could be there, I'm there now. I wish I could be there all the time, but I'm not there all the time. But I want to be in that place. I want to be in Beth-El, the house of God. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. He kind of like lightweight, still, ain't right there with God yet. But he's starting, though. And he's starting to make that commitment. And that's what we have to do. We just have to start to make that commitment. And this stone, which I have set up as a pillar, will be God's house. And all that thou dost give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. So he makes a commitment. Tithing wasn't even a thing. It was a thing, but it wasn't a command at this point in time. But he's starting to understand. So he was in desperate need. He was in desperate need. He was afraid. He was ashamed. He was being moved from one place to another. He was being separated from his family. But then he has this encounter with God. Has anybody ever had an encounter with God before? Anybody thirsty for an encounter with God now? I thank you, Fairhaven, because you've allowed me to have an encounter with him just through my study. Just through bringing the word, I was able to have that encounter that I needed to move me to the next place. He gave him those prescriptions, that vision. God will give you vision. Sometimes it's a dream. Sometimes it's his word. Sometimes it's the preacher. Sometimes it's just revelation. Anybody ever receive revelation from God about a situation, about a circumstance? But this is the thing. Did you take heed? Did you allow that new insight to cause you to recommit to God? God is asking us to recommit today. God is calling us today to recommit. As we move into this time of communion, this is that time where every time we break bread, every time, it's supposed to be an encounter. Even if you haven't been encountering God like you want to or like you should, every time you break bread, it's supposed to be an encounter. Yes, an encounter with the carnal you, the real you, not the you that you show me, not the you that you put on social media, not the you that you want the world to see, not your representative, the real you, where the real you comes to the real, true, and living God. And you have an encounter. And if you don't know that God today, if you don't know the God that I'm talking about, if you haven't had that type of experience, I promise you today, it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with a sermon. God then had his hand out to you today. And he welcomes you into his family if you will put your trust in him. You ain't got to pray no prayer with me today. I ain't got to lead you to no water today. All it is will you surrender to God? Will you put your faith and trust in him? Will you allow his spirit to dwell in you? Will you step down off the throne? So as we move into this time of communion today, have that encounter, whether you believe in him or not. Come on up, brothers. Have that encounter. Have that encounter. As we go into communion and I break the bread, the breaking of the bread represents Jesus' body being broken. I'm not going to get all philosophical and all theological on you in terms of all of this thing, but because he came to the earth, think about this. The ladder was able to be rolled out to the earth. And I'm telling you, it's deep when you look at it. Because he entered the flesh, now we have access through the flesh. And it's just deep. And the wine that we drink represents the blood that was spilled, that washes away our sins. He commanded us to do this until he returns. To celebrate the fact that he's alive and that he will return. Have that encounter with God today. Recommit yourself to him. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you was talking about on the way in here. If God is tugging on your heart today, use this time to recommit yourself to him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love and for your compassion today. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you that you show up anyway, in spite of us. God, and time again, God, we mess up. We become self-sufficient. We become independent, God. We scheme, God. We do things that aren't honoring to you, God, but you just keep on reaching out towards us, and we thank you for that. As we enter into this time of communion, God, help us to have that encounter with you. Help us to be in the house of God, in spirit and in truth. God, we thank you for this opportunity once again to worship you. We love you. We're excited about what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.